Americans love using their credit cards, the most secure and hassle-free way to pay. But D.C. politicians want to change that with the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill. This bill lets corporate megastores pick how your credit card is processed, allowing them to use untested payment networks that jeopardize your data security and rewards. Corporate megastores will make more money, and you pay the price. Tell Congress to guard your card, because Americans lose when politicians choose. Learn more at guardyourcard.com.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to hour one of a Monday edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Coast to coast on 150-plus outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I'm coming to you from the Liberty University studio at my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids in Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. Now, Todd is apparently just, taking today off, but I have it on good authority as to why. You see, I think he watched the new episode of Yellowstone last night, and it was about an hour and a half long, so longer than normal. And he was so enthralled by it that he stayed up to watch the two subsequent replays. And so by the time he finally, his little head hit the pillow about, 3 in the morning, he just needs to rest up a bit. So as we all try to figure out what scheme the Duttons are going to put in place to save the ranch, Todd is working on that today. He'll report back tomorrow, I trust. But it gives you and I a chance to get together. And I am so honored for the opportunity to speak to you. From the Liberty University studio, our phone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Same number you're used to using. Give us a call. Plenty of time in this hour to talk to you about what's on your mind. On the guest list coming up 1 hour from now, Kansas Congressman Ron Estes will join us. Also, in hour number two of the program, return guest to the program, Reagan Reese, White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. I've had the privilege of speaking to her on this program before. Looking forward to that. And coming up in hour number three, Josh Haston. Mr. Haston is the Middle East correspondent for the Jewish News Syndicate. He will report to us from Israel on the latest concerning the fall of the Syrian government. And this is actually a gentleman I spoke to on my radio program in Iowa this morning, and it was such a great conversation. I told Ben Dieter, see if he'll come back and put up with another conversation with me so we can share it with the national audience. And Mr. Haston was gracious enough to agree. So that's coming up. All that and more, including, again, your calls at 901-260-5926. As we come on the air coast to coast, just after 12 o'clock noon Eastern time on this Monday, we're happy to tell you that Daniel Penny has been acquitted, that is, found not guilty of all charges. And this is really fascinating in terms of how it came about, because as you recall, on Friday, the jury said, we're just deadlocked on this manslaughter thing. So the persecuting prosecutors decided, okay, let's make sure that they understand that they could do a compromise with a lesser included offense, as we call it, something not as serious as the original charge. Well, guess what? The jury came back today and in about enough time to finish the first cup of coffee, said absolutely not guilty across the board. And that is such a fantastic outcome, because I still fear that too many people in the wake of this are going to say, I'm not going to get involved when I see bad things happen, because I don't want to have to run the risk of going to trial. I mean, where does Daniel Penny go to get his life and reputation back? Where does he go to recover all the time, effort, money spent on this? The Associated Press story reads, and this came through about 25 minutes ago as I'm speaking to you live on a Monday, a Marine veteran who used a chokehold on an agitated subway rider was acquitted, that's not guilty, on Monday in a case that became a prism, well, the AP is overwriting things today, for differing views about public safety, valor, and vigilantism. Wow. Need to find a better source than the Associated Press, but that's the case most days. This is a jury case in Manhattan. Mr. Penny, not guilty of criminally negligent homicide in connection with the death of Jordan Neely last year. The more serious charge dismissed earlier. All of these were felonies. All of these carried the possibility of prison time. And the 26-year-old veteran, Daniel Penny, not guilty. Now, as you might imagine, there are some of us who think that justice was served in this case because the prosecution was just a persecution for racial and political reasons. Well, as you might imagine, there are those who have a different view. There is a gentleman by the name of Hawk Newsom. Mr. Newsom's given name, I believe, is Walter. It's immaterial. But he is one of the founders of Black Lives Matter in Greater New York. He is well known for intimidating or attempting to intimidate people with his size. And all you have to do is search his name online and you see how he tried to intimidate police officers earlier this year, getting arrested himself because, again, he was violating all sorts of rules, not just decorum, but the actual rules regarding assaults. So he got arrested for it. Well, he, of course, has a very different view about the Daniel Penny verdict, Mr. Penny being found innocent. This is cut number two, folks.
Racism is still alive and kicking in America. There's no other way to view this. Everyone has looked at the case, and those among you who say that Daniel Penny is innocent have racism and bias in your heart. If you look at the facts of this case, then you understand that Daniel Penny is guilty. But today, white supremacy got another victory. Today, the KKK, the Klansmen, the evil in America got another victory. They got that top charge dismissed. America shall continue to America and shall continue to place second-class status on black people.
Now, I did not follow this case as closely as perhaps Mr. Newsom did, but I just have a few questions. First of all, and again, there's no reason that anybody should have died as a result of this incident, but who started the whole thing? I believe it was Jordan Neely. Who had substance issues? I believe it was Jordan Neely. Who was acting in a manner that was causing the potential for harm to others? That would be Jordan Neely. When someone like Mr. Newsom, who is the next generation apparently of those who intend to make their living off of stoking up racial unrest in this country, and there's a long list of those who have grifted in the past. I don't know that he is, but sure looks like a pattern. In any event, when you look at this situation, the concept, when he screams just now, he was guilty, all right? Of what? Of what criminal charge was he guilty? Now, this may be my bias, not as a white person with racism in my heart, but as a licensed attorney. There are certain elements that have to be proven for criminal offenses. Now, this is just a fact. Any case, if you're charged with anything, there are certain elements that have to be proven. So I would challenge these folks who say that this was a racist verdict to show me exactly what charge was Mr. Penny guilty of. Line it up. Line up the evidence, not what you think. What's the evidence of the given situation? Were there other factors, like first responders who did not want to perform full resuscitation on Mr. Neely because of his background and the possibility of substance use? That came out in the trial. In other words, just because a white person was found not guilty in a case in connection with a person of color, that does not mean it's racist. It might actually mean that the person charged was not guilty of the criminal offense. Now, this is certainly not the end of the matter for Mr. Penny. He's been sued multiple times now by the family of Mr. Neely, the deceased. And the standard in a criminal case, beyond a reasonable doubt before conviction, is much different than in a civil case, which is just simply a preponderance of the evidence, 50.1%. That's why O.J. Simpson was not guilty of murder, but was held responsible in a civil lawsuit. Different standards. And so now he's going to have to defend himself in the civil case as being responsible for the death. The criminal charges, however, are now off. And the fact that a jury in New York stood up to a persecuting prosecutor and said, no, this is not right. And not just deadlocked. Remember last week it was, well, we just can't reach a unanimous verdict. This was unanimous on the lower charge, the lesser included. The fact that a New York City jury stood up says to me, people are waking up. Dare I say, another sign that America is back. And all these signs are all around us. We'll talk more about that as our program continues today. But as we come on the air, as I said, at noon Eastern time on Monday, the breaking news is that Daniel Penny no longer faces criminal charges. He has been found not guilty. And this is another blow to the persecuting prosecutors who have been running roughshod across this country for the past 4 years, and things are about to change. And they have with this verdict today, among others. And again, just because a white person was found not guilty does not mean that it's racist. With all due respect to those who would love that narrative to continue. 901-260-5926. Join the Coast to Coast conversation. I'm Jeff Stein, in for Todd, in the Liberty University studio. Take your calls in the next segment. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
My Pillow is excited to announce their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. Get this season's flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. They won't last long, so get them while you can. Their famous My Slippers, those haven't been on sale for over a year. Normally $119, but for a limited time, only $59.98. And their six-piece towel sets are back in stock with extremely limited quantities, only $29.98. With hundreds of My Pillow products, there's something for everyone. Everyone on your Christmas list, from bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, and so much more. Go to MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and be sure to use promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98 or the six-piece towel sets for just $29.98, but that's not all. They're extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025, plus all orders $75 or more. Ship absolutely free.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today at the Liberty University studio, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join the Coast to Coast conversation. We were talking in the last segment about claims that racist jurors found Daniel Penny innocent. And I was reminded, and I have a friend who is misguided, but he is at least passionate in his beliefs, left wing, left side of the political spectrum. And he's a smart guy. We just disagree on certain items. And he made a comment in a conversation about Kamala Harris's loss. And, you know, well, heaven forbid people would vote for a woman or a person of color. Now, he was being flip and it was part of a broader conversation. But there are a lot of people, and the Penny situation just reminded me. You get a BLM founder coming out saying, well, white guy found not guilty, must be racism. Yeah, or maybe he was not guilty. But the idea that Kamala Harris lost the run for the White House because she was a woman is silly, or because she was a person of color is also silly. Because there are plenty of folks, plenty of them, and we heard from them during the campaign who said, in essence, you know, you owe it to the sister. The brothers need to help the sister out. That was Barack Obama, by the way. So in other words, there are plenty of folks who voted for her because she was a woman and would, quote, make history. There were plenty who voted for her because she was a person of color. And I dare say there are, and I truly believe there are more people who voted for her for reasons that are tied solely to a characteristic of birth, as opposed to voting against her. So saying, well, you know, America's just not ready for a woman of color to be president. No, we weren't ready for Kamala Harris to continue this abomination of policies that will go down in history as one of the worst administrations of all time. And I will tell you, my great concern is that things have been driven into the ditch so deeply in the Biden-Harris administration and whoever's really running it right now, because it ain't either one of them. We've known that for a while, but it's really apparent these days. I'm afraid things have been driven in the ditch so deeply that not even Donald Trump can pull them out. That we have such a problem with illegals in our country, we don't even know the scope of the problem. We have so many problems with paying these folks overseas to continue to fight wars that we really don't belong in. I mean, the money in, and the armaments still going out the door. They're hurrying to spend everything before the adults get back in town. I'm just concerned about how quickly things can recover from this. And I really hope that we as Americans don't fall into the what have you done for me lately trap. The one that says, well, it's January 21st, Trump's been in office a whole day, how come he hasn't fixed everything? It is so screwed up, it's going to take time to get fixed. And we just need to be realistic. That does not mean you don't hold people accountable. I'm just saying I don't think we know how bad it is. And it's going to take a while to get the car out of the ditch and back on the road again. I truly am concerned about the impact of evildoers, bad actors who have come into this country during the open border situation. If you are in this country without benefit of paperwork, you have violated federal law. That makes you potentially a criminal. That's just a fact. You don't like using phrases like illegals or illegal alien? Okay, how about probable criminal? My main concern is how many of those folks are just waiting to do something to us. We don't know. The scope of the problem is deep, but we have a guest who may make some sense of it coming up on the other side. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. More from the Liberty University studio after this break. Stay tuned. This is the Todd Starn Show.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out. It smells so clean. Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Welcome back to the Liberty University Studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But let's go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. We welcome to the program Rob Law. Mr. Law is director for the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration within the America First Policy Institute. They are online at AmericaFirstPolicy.com. Mr. Law, Jeff Stein in Iowa, filling in for Todd Starnes. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Good to be with you today.
Good to have you join us. Have we already seen a change in flow at our borders, both southern but also northern, in the aftermath of the election of Mr. Trump? In other words, has just the mere fact that he's coming back to office, has that led to an appreciable change in what we're seeing?
It's starting to, and it's actually very interesting because you would expect that there would be sort of a last-ditch effort of a surge to get in now while the border remains open under Biden and Harris, before January 20th happens and President Trump seals the border. But you're actually seeing the new Mexican president and Trudeau up in Canada stepping up finally and doing some enforcement efforts on their side of their borders. And it's because President Trump has already come out swinging, talking tough about tariffs and other things. We're saying the status quo is no longer acceptable. And so I think that is really what is the absolutely monumental development that has occurred in the few weeks since Trump, won the election, is that he's not even president yet. And yet global leaders, whether they share borders with us or anywhere around the world, are already acting like he's in the White House. And so I'm actually very optimistic that the situation will not be a complete disaster when President Trump is sworn in and you have a new DHS secretary and Kristi Noem. It's still a massive problem, but I actually think that the pressure will not be as much on the physical border, and that will allow resources to really prioritize the mass deportation effort.
What is reasonable to expect Congress to do before Mr. Trump takes office? And the reason I state it, Mr. Law, that way is that the House and Senate will both have Republican majorities, small but still a majority. They could pass a certain number of pieces of legislation so that on day one, he's not just signing executive orders, he might be signing actual laws. Are there things that can be done, not to fix the whole problem, but right out of the gate to get this down the road?
Well, it's a great question. And I'd say there's twofold that Congress can do to help deliver for President Trump and the American people who voted for him in such overwhelming numbers. Number one is the United States Senate needs to get as many of his nominees through the confirmation process so they are ready to take their offices on January 20th as well. The Senate starts prior to inauguration, and so all of that work can be done. And President Trump should have an unprecedented number of cabinet secretaries confirmed on or before January 20th. So that way he has his team, his leadership, his cabinet in place on day one. That right there will be extraordinarily beneficial across the spectrum. Number two, Congress, I think, needs to be very aggressive with what's called reconciliation. And that's kind of a inside-the-hill terminology, but it's essentially utilizing the budgetary process to enact meaningful changes. And there's different ways to go about doing so, but that legislation does not require 60 votes in the Senate. And so with the narrow majorities that the Republicans have, they should have the votes in order to already change, the narrative and the approach on so many different things. So, again, get your Senate confirmations for your cabinet officials done early and start aggressively pursuing the budget reconciliation process so that you can ensure that the federal dollars that are spent are implementing America First policies.
Of course, one of the big problems right now is the government's going to shut down in, what, 11 days? I mean, they can't even, and this is the current Congress, not the incoming one, but can't even get out of our own way on that.
It always seems to be, you know, the inevitable chicken and the egg situation with a potential shutdown. You know, I think that you will see some form of a continuing resolution or a temporary funding bill that will essentially punt the issue into the next Congress. But I think, you know, the Republicans who are poised to take full control, they cannot be caught sweeping here going into the holiday season. They need to ensure that there are not bad provisions that are stuck in there. You know, anything that would restrict the federal government from doing, you know, the mandate that the president has starting next year. And so they need to be on alert with whatever mechanism is used to continue fluttering the government. I'm pretty confident that there will not be a shutdown. But that doesn't mean that the Democrats, as a last-ditch effort, aren't going to try to sneak some harmful provisions in there. And so hopefully Congress is paying attention.
Rob Law is director of the Center for Homeland Security and Immigration within the America First Policy Institute, AmericaFirstPolicy.com. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. Just before the bottom of the hour break, before you came on, I suggested that a number of things in this country may be worse than we think, and it could take longer than we hope for things to be remedied. And the influx of people in our country illegally is one of those. Do you think that Americans have an accurate sense of what it's going to take to turn this around, or is it worse than we even, most of us, know?
Well, I definitely think it's worse than we know or think, because you've had 4 years of the least transparent administration ever. I mean, they lied to us for 3 years that it was a border crisis, and only when they couldn't get out from polling that showed that not a single American believed that did they even start to begin to deliver. So it is going to be an absolutely monumental task to solve all of the problems that the Biden-Harris administration created. And I think that's where you're going to see the antagonistic media try to, you know, downplay the successes of President Trump's second term, where they say, oh, he hasn't done anything meaningful on X, Y, or Z policy. And that's where I think people need to understand, be patient. I think you will see early results, but in order to get the large long-term, you know, gains, it's going to take time, and it's going to be about consistency. So think about deportations. You're not going to have, you know, a million illegal aliens removed in a single night. Like, that's just not what's going to happen. But when you allow ICE to do their job, and day after day after day, they are deporting more and more criminal illegal aliens, it all builds upon itself. And then after a few weeks or months or even a year, then it's that totality. And I think you'll see that not just in the immigration enforcement, but in other issue areas as well. I think President Trump has the team that he needs to solve the problem, but I definitely think the problems are far worse than the American people realize.
I appreciate your candor on that, and I'm sorry to hear that my fear was founded, because I think we have a sense, many of us, that you know, Mr. Trump is invincible and he can do anything, and he's probably the only hope we have on this. However, it's still going to take some time. I want you to listen, Mr. Law, and the folks at home will hear it on the radio. This is from President-elect Donald Trump on Meet the Press on NBC with Kristen Welker yesterday, and this has to do with her concern about these deportations and the standard line we hear from the left of breaking up families. It's cut four, Dylan.
Let me ask you about another group of people, the estimated 4 million families in America who have mixed immigration status. So I'm talking about parents who might be here illegally, but yeah, the kids are here legally. Your borders are
Tom Homan. You're talking about separation?
Yeah, well, there are two aspects to this. Your border czar, Tom Homan, said they can be deported together.
Correct.
Is that the plan?
Well, that way you keep the I don't want to be breaking up families, so the only way you don't break up the family is you keep them together and you have to send them all back.
For some reason, I just imagine some people's heads exploding across the country, Mr. Law, to hear that, because they think of it the other side of the coin. Well, you keep them together by allowing the illegal activity to continue in America. What was your reaction to Mr. Trump's comment?
Oh, I mean, President Trump is absolutely spot on, is that you keep the family together and you return them to their home country together. This notion that the open borders left and a lot of the legacy media have, that the sheer fact that you have a child, that you are a family or you're a parent, makes you immune from, you know, enforcement of our immigration laws is just absurd, you know? And I think it's very clear cut. You can do this in a very humane way. Every country in the world deports people. They deport single adults. They deport families. It happens. And this attempt at sensationalizing something that is rather mundane, deportations, it just goes to show that they don't believe that there's a single illegal alien that shouldn't remain in the country. And it seems like over the last couple of years, there's been a growing sympathy for criminal illegal aliens to be allowed to remain in our country. That's why you have Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment buildings and such. And so, of course, I think you've heard President Trump talk about this repeatedly, that the effort is going to prioritize national security threats, gang members, and other criminals first and foremost. But nobody is immune from deportation. And so, again, you will have priorities that will make sense and they will make American communities safer. But at the end of the day, the rule of law will be applied. It should not be viewed as novel that you can keep a family together by deporting them together.
And this is not a perfect analogy, but families are broken up when one of the adults, the parents in this situation, violates the law, you know, robs a liquor store and sent to prison. This is the same thing. People seem to forget that when you come into this country without benefit of legal status, you're a criminal according to federal law.
You're right. And not just that, you obviously have, you know, military deployments of U.S. troops who are parents, and, you know, they are, quote, separated from their families during those deployments. You also have over 500,000, you know, migrant children who were trafficked across the southern border over the last 4 years. They were separated from their parents who decided that they wanted to take advantage of the open border policies. And, of course, let's not forget about the Lakin Rileys, the Jocelyn Mangaris, and every other victim of illegal alien crime who have been permanently separated from their American family.
Oh, amen. Thank you so much for keeping that in context. Rob Law, Director, Center for Homeland Security and Immigration, America First Policy Institute. Thanks so much for the time and joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. I hope you and yours have a very Merry Christmas, sir.
Appreciate you. Merry Christmas.
Mr. Law joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, AmericaFirstPolicy.com, the website. 901-260-5926, that's how you join the coast-to-coast conversation, and that's the number that Joe used to call in from Ella J, Georgia. Joe, Jeff Stein in for Todd. How are you, good sir?
Jeff, doing great. We're really excited down here in Ella J. We have invited Elon Musk is my hero for cutting billions in government waste, and we have invited, I've sent a personal invitation to Elon to come to Ella J to Pooh's Famous Barbecue and talk about his plans to cut billions in waste. I think it's the most exciting thing that's happened for the taxpayers in so many years because, you know, Jeff, people have talked about cutting waste, but until Ramaswamy and Musk came along, nothing had been done. So I think we're finally going to do something about the billions of dollars of government waste, and we're Congressman Rich McCormick is helping me get Musk to elevate Pooh's Famous Barbecue. So I just wanted you and all the Todd Starnes people to know that we're fired up about what Musk and Ramaswamy are doing because we surely need to cut government waste, and I think you will agree with that.
Are you picking up the tab, or is this Dutch treat?
Well, I'd be glad to pay for him to come to Ella Jaddle. We hadn't really discussed that yet. I just invited him yesterday. But Congressman Rich McCormick, he's helping us, and we really would give him a great reception at the Famous Barbecue because we here in Ella Jaddle are excited about cutting government waste, and you know how much we have. You know, they've been paying for million-dollar outhouses and all kinds of crazy things through the years. So finally, Jeff, we've got somebody with Musk and Ramaswamy that are going to do something about government waste. So we're fired up and energized down here at Ella J at Pooh's Barbecue, and hope if Musk comes, hope you'll come down and join us.
I'll even pick up the tab for your meal. How's that?
Well, I'd be glad to pay for yours if you'd be coming from... But anyway, we're fired up about it, and I love the Todd Starnes show, and I'm glad to talk to you about what we're working on. We're real excited about getting Musk to come to LJ and talk about his plans to cut government waste because, boy, you know we have tons of it. And so we're fired up and energized, and I appreciate you letting me tell the Todd Starnes great audience about it today, my friend.
I always appreciate when you call in when I'm here, and I know Todd enjoys talking with you as well. Merry Christmas to you and yours, Joe. Thanks for calling in today.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That's Joe from LJ, Georgia. Yeah, I'll pick up his mail. Why not? What the heck? That'd be a great deal of fun. And you know what's really interesting, and then we'll take the break, what's really interesting is that you get people like Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy talking about cutting things, and all of a sudden everybody finds the fiscal restraint religion, and they're all rushing around with their suggestions of things that should be cut, these members of Congress. Now, keep in mind, they could have acted for years and haven't, but better late than never. More from the Liberty University studio in a moment. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Monday. In our last segment, we were talking about immigration, and you heard some of the comments made by President-elect Trump in his conversation with Kristen Welker of NBC on Meet the Press, and the concern, of course, breaking up families. Well, there's another provision that Mr. Trump referenced in that conversation.
You promised to end birthright citizenship on day one. Is that still your plan?
Yeah, absolutely.
The 14th Amendment, though, says that, quote, all persons born in the United States are citizens. Can you get around the 14th Amendment with an executive action?
Well, we're going to have to get a change. We maybe have to go back to the people, but we have to end it. We're the only country that has it.
Through an executive action?
You know, we're the only country that has it. Do you know, if somebody sets a foot, just a foot, 1 foot, you don't need to, on our land, congratulations, you are now a citizen of the United States of America. Yes, we're going to end that because it's ridiculous.
Well, the first part of the 14th Amendment, which I'm looking at right now, says all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. And then we go on to talk about laws that abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens. So that's all fine, but don't forget Section 5. You know, whenever anybody was using, those on the left were using the 14th Amendment to try to say that Donald Trump could not run for president, need to be thrown off ballots. They always looked at earlier sections. They didn't look at all of the sections. And one of the things I learned in law school, right from the very start, one of the senior professors said the first rule of statutory construction is to read the statute. Then the second thing is to read it again. And had she, Kristen Welker, read it again, she'd have seen that Section 5 says the Congress shall have power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. So if you want to enforce a provision about being born or naturalized in the U.S., and perhaps limit it, you could do so through legislation because, wait for it, it's in Section 5. So again, whenever they start telling you this amendment means this, this law means that, read the whole thing because quite often they're leaving out very important parts. Wonder why? Must just be an accident. No accident that we are 1 hour down, 2 hours to go from the Liberty University studio. Hope you come on back. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks so much for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies supplements, changing the world one life at a time.
I love the product because I'm already here at almost 80 knocking on my door. When I started taking Balance of Nature, I'm telling you, it wasn't a month after that, maybe 2 months after that, I started really feeling the difference.
I love Balance of Nature. I will take it to the day I die. It's wonderful. I feel so much better. I'm telling everybody about it. And I just feel better. I mean, it's just amazing how much better I feel on this stuff. I got excited about the product because I started feeling better. They asked me, does it work? I said, yes, it works. You got to try it. It will work.
Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and sign up as a new preferred customer. And for a limited time, get 35% off your first order with free shipping and our money-back guarantee. Go to balanceofnature.com and get this special offer by using discount code BALANCE.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed. So it's hour number two, second hour of the Todd Starnes radio program for a Monday. Coast to coast on more than 150 outstanding radio stations and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. From the Liberty University studio at my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views. Join this coast-to-coast conversation, if you would, 901-260-5926. Same number as always, 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls in the next segment. But we begin this hour by going to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we welcome back U.S. Congressman Ron Estes, Congressman Ron Estes of the 4th District of Kansas. Congressman Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Good to talk to you again, sir.
Hey, Jeff. It's great to be able to talk to you again.
You know, just before the top of the hour, we were talking about government waste, et cetera. Now you've got some real champions in this DOGE effort, which I think is the biggest, greatest troll on folks on the left possible, Department of Government Efficiency. What's different about this than any other time that you and others have said, hey, let's cut some of the waste? What's the chance that this is going to be successful?
Well, I think there's a lot of enthusiasm around this, you know, with President Trump actually tapped Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy to actually address this and to make it part of the center of what's going on in the administration. You know, our debt's at $36 trillion now, and it's shameful. It's not sustainable. I mean, we're spending so much that's hurting our economy and hurting. We can't even have enough money to buy the services and benefits that we need. And it's not just the amount about spending, but it's also the regulations that affect us and slow down business, slow down individuals. President Trump, when he was in office before, actually cut 8 regulations for every one that he added, versus if you look at President Biden, he spent $1.37 trillion in new regulations that were coming in. It was about 45 times more than what President Trump did and about 5 times more than what President Obama did. So there's a lot of focus here in Congress. We're excited about this. The DOGE caucus that's been organized by Aaron Beam from Florida and Congressman Pete Sessions from Texas are, focusing on what we can do to help make this happen. But it's going to entail not just some executive actions and some decisions on the executive side, but also on the legislative side. And we're looking at there's lots of opportunities out there for bloat and waste and fraud. And I use this one as a point as a reference is that there's about 2 billion executive branch employees that aren't part of the armed services. And if you compare that to the number of employees in the legislative branch, there's about 1% of that. So we've got such a huge executive branch, and it's not supposed to be that way. And so we've got our work cut out for us to go out and address this and help rein in this excessive spending.
One of the things, Congressman Estes, is that we hear people like Musk and Ramaswamy talking about big dollar amounts, but really, we do need that. But it's, as you just mentioned, it's attitude, right? It's the attitude of saying every nickel, every dollar matters. And even though it may not be a big splashy thing, you start taking little steps that you don't need some big program to carry out. You're going to pretty soon get some fair amount of money that is saved, and every little bit helps when you've got a debt, like you said, that's just going to cripple this country.
That really is. I mean, there's programs that have been in existence for decades, and, you know, now we're in the 21st century. You know, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we didn't have the Internet. We didn't have all the technology tools that we have today, and yet we still are running the same old programs, and things that just don't make sense anymore. We've got to start reining that in. We've got to start looking at what makes sense moving forward. And at some point, we also need to be looking at what should we be doing at the federal government level. I know we had decades where the United States was the big economy in the world, and you could afford a little bit of lax in your austerity and managing your budget. But it's not that way anymore. As China and other companies have gotten more competitive in their economy, we can't tie our hands and tie the impact of what American citizens can do and what we can do to make America strong.
Ron Estes represents the 4th District of Kansas in Congress from his home base in Wichita, and he's kind enough to join us on the Todd Starnes Show on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. I find it interesting, Congressman, shifting topics, that even Democrats can't stomach this pardon of Hunter Biden. And I found it interesting today. I'm going to read you a quote from a White House official and then get your response. A White House spokesperson told Fox News Digital that Biden is making every day of his term count, leading by example for the sake of American democracy. I'm just trying to figure out how pardoning your son and potentially pardoning all manner of co-conspirators is, well, it's certainly making every day of the term count, but certainly not for the sake of American democracy.
Yeah, that's a terrible legacy that President Biden's going to leave for himself, because if he thinks this is a positive indication of what he's doing. I mean, we just looking at this Hunter Biden pardon, recognizing that we can't trust what Joe Biden says. I mean, his promise not to pardon his son just was a blatant lie. And it was so egregious, as you said, that even Democrat senators and Republican and representatives and governors are crying that he should not pardon Hunter for every action he did since 2014. And, you know, President Biden's been quoted in the past as saying that no one's above the law. However, with this pardon, he did prove that if your last name is Biden, you are above the law.
Do you think they even care about the public reaction as additional pardons are being contemplated? Because they're floating out all manner of names, some from the January 6th committee, some tied to the family. My sense is that Joe's Christmas shopping list is simply going to be pardoned about everybody he can think of because the consequences aren't going to affect him in the least. And he doesn't care about the legacy and doesn't care about what it does to his fellow Democrats.
No, it really is sad. I mean, the pardon power of the president is pretty powerful, and it should be used in cases where there's really been cases of abuse or mistakes or changes that make sense. In this particular case, it's just being used as a slush fund and a political tool. And I hate to think that that's the legacy that Joe Biden wants for his presidency after his long years of service in the House and the Senate and and in the Oval Office. And it's terrible that that's the approach he's taken.
I want to ask about a couple of other things. Congressman Ron Estes of Kansas joining us on the Todd Starn Show. A lot of folks are paying attention to the impending government shutdown, and I want to know your thoughts about what's the path forward to get this moved ahead. But a lot of folks, unless you're in Kansas or Iowa, you may not realize that we've gone more than a year without a five-year farm bill, and we have no extension for the second time. The extension would be for the second time. I mean, this is dire stuff for the people you represent.
Yeah, it really is. You mentioned about the continuing resolution expires December 20th, and I think that'll be extended. I think as part of that process, there's a recognition that we need to at least extend the current farm bill. But I've got to compliment my friend G.T. Thompson, who actually led the House side on getting a farm bill passed with Republican and Democrat votes on the House side. Unfortunately, it got caught up in the Senate, and it doesn't look like there's going to be any movement. And, we're running out of time for this year for the Senate to do anything productive around that. And there's literally issues that are almost a matter of survival for some of the folks in our agriculture communities with the Biden inflation that's been out for the last 4 years, the price of grain, fertilizer, and diesel fuel. All of those input costs have gone up, and it's really a burden on the farmers in throughout the heartland of America.
And something that, and you'll know the number, I'm just guesstimating here, but it's at least two-thirds of any quote-unquote farm bill doesn't go to the farm. It goes to provide food to people across the country, folks who the title is, or the designation is, food insecure. So the reality is this is not just for farmers. More of it goes to folks in big cities, actually.
Yeah, it's the SNAP food stamp program is actually over 80% of the spending in the farm bill. And, I sometimes say it should be called the farm and food stamp bill. The sad part about that is because that's a automatic spending program. It doesn't go away if the farm bill were ever to lapse. The SNAP food stamp program doesn't end. So it's just the support for the farmers to grow and produce the food that people need, whether you're getting it through SNAP food stamps or whether you're getting it having to pay for it out of your own pocket at the higher inflation prices that people are having to face now.
Congressman Ron Estes, 4th District of Kansas, thank you so much for the great conversation as always. Hope you and yours have a very Merry Christmas, sir.
Well, great. I wish you Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays again.
Congressman Ron Estes joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, 901-260-5926. That's how you can join the conversation. That's the number Doug used to call in from Georgia. Hold on the line, Doug. I'll take your call right after we get it back after this break from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Monday, 901-260-5926. That's how you join the Coast to Coast conversation, and it's the number Doug used to call in. Thanks for taking the time. What's on your mind, Doug?
Yes, I was just wondering that I'm a regular Newsmax watcher.
Yes.
From 7 till 11 o'clock. That's all I watch on TV.
Yeah.
And every night, Greg Kelly has kept since Trump has picked Pete Hegseth for the Department of Defense Secretary. Every night, he's trying to throw him under the bus and, make people go against him, and I mean, that's, Trump should get the cabinet he wants and the people he wants. That's what we voted for as American people. And I just wonder if you might have some insight as to why he keeps doing this every night.
I don't directly, but I do think their time at Fox overlapped. In other words, Mr. Kelly used to be on Fox in high-profile roles, and so there may be something that I'm just not aware of behind the scenes. You know, I mean, maybe you work with somebody and you just don't care for them. The one thing I will say, because a lot of people have been very critical of U.S. Senator Joni Ernst from my state of Iowa. And I got a text this morning from someone who served with her. And he basically said she would not be on the fence unless she truly felt there was something there. And all of this folks lining up against her is really unfair. So I'm one of those who, let's see some people under oath talking about these kinds of things. But I wonder, Doug, how much of this, and I can't explain Greg Kelly, and I can't explain why Newsmax, why, you know, given the tone of the programming, why that would be there. My sense is that those who are on the left, if it wasn't Matt Gaetz, then it becomes Pete Hegseth. And if they get him driven out, then they'll go after somebody else. I mean, there's really no ending it for those on the left, do you think?
Exactly. That's my point. I mean, if you can't. You can't keep cowing down to these people, especially these rhinos. This, you know, Republican in name only. I mean, you know, we have to stand up, and they need to stand up.
Doug, I appreciate you calling in and weighing in on this. You and yours have yourselves a very Merry Christmas. 901-260-5926, that's the number to call. I did see some of Mr. Kelly's commentary against Pete Hegseth on TV the other night, as Doug did, and I thought, well, that's a little odd. I guess what I'm looking for are specifics and people to put their name behind the specifics. And we have to also understand that, as Doug said, the president, any president should get his choice. And not speaking of any particular nomination, not speaking of one party versus another, but just broadly with what I'm about to say. The Senate has the advise and consent function. That's why these nominees have to pass the Senate. All I would say to Republicans at this point is, if you have valid concerns, raise them. That's your job. If there are things that you need to learn more about in order to feel good about making a public statement, well, fine, raise it. I'm not a big fan, frankly, of everybody telling the media how they're going to vote. That's why you have the hearing and then vote after that. But a lot of these folks, it would appear, may be holding the Trump nominees to a different standard than they held Biden nominees. If you look at the collection of people serving in the Biden administration who received Senate approval and who got that approval thanks to an awful lot of Republicans who went along with the, well, the president won the election kind of thing, don't use a different standard for Donald Trump's nominees than you have used for Joe Biden's nominees or any other nominees. If there's a problem, let's hear it. Let's get people on the record. Let's get folks to put their name to the story and then go from there. But if you're going to hold any of Trump's nominees to a different standard, and notice I said different, not higher or lower. Should be treating these the same. But if you're a Republican who just voted along for Biden's choices because, well, he's the president, he gets his cabinet, then absent something pretty big, you darn well better be doing that with the Trump nominees. And Democrats who used to just kind of say, well, you know, that's the president, his nominees, well, then you ought to be voting for Trump's too. Same standard for everybody. I know, I'm glad I was sitting down because that was just, you know, that doesn't happen. Same standard for everybody in Washington? No, we can't have that. 901-260-5926. We'll take your calls before the end of the hour. Reagan Reese, White House correspondent for The Daily Caller, joins the program after this short break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Thanks for being along on The Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today, 901-260-5926. We've got time for your calls in this segment. Reagan Reese of the Daily Caller joins us before the end of the hour. She will join us, by the way, on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. It's no secret to any of you that the First Amendment is under attack, but you can help protect your constitutional rights just by using your cell phone. No, I don't mean by the content of what you say. I mean by the provider you choose to use. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They always support freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and it's a proud partnership between Patriot Mobile and the Todd Starnes Show. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage. That gives you access to all three major networks. You remember the old days where you had to worry about if your carrier had a tower in the area? Well, now these are all interchangeable. So you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. You see, these big companies, they use the profits they earn to fund causes they care about. That's fine, but why should your hard-earned dollars go to fund things that you're against? When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support organizations like First Liberty, Alliance Defending Freedom, Concerned Women for America, and many more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team, that's U.S.-based, thank you very much, they make switching easy. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. Their team will help find the best plan for your needs, not their needs. Go to patriotmobile.com/Todd and learn much more. Or you can call 972-PATRIOT. By the way, you get free activation when you use the offer code Todd. So make the switch today. It's patriotmobile.com/Todd, patriotmobile.com/Todd, or call 972-PATRIOT. So this past weekend, we had unseasonably warm weather in my state of Iowa. I mean, this is December, right? It was the first full weekend of December. And we had record high temperatures. It was like 62 degrees on Saturday where I live in the northern part of Iowa. And I'm out there thinking I'm just taking care of business. I'm raking some leaves that I hadn't gotten to because of schedule and everything, plus had a late fall. And so here's a bunch of leaves, and I'm dragging leaves into the woods where I live. And I'm thinking I'm, you know, really taking care of the day. And then I look at the Twitter X machine not long ago, and I see that Ben Dieter has beaten all of us with his activities over the weekend. You know Ben's voice from this program. He also is the host of the great morning program on Starnes Media flagship, the Mighty 990 in Memphis. He won the men's division of the 10K at the St. Jude Memphis Marathon weekend. I mean, this is big stuff. I didn't get a medal for raking leaves, nor should I, but that's good stuff. So congratulations to Ben for that. It is helpful, I think, if you are an opinionated radio host, to be able to run fast. Might be helpful in certain circumstances. I believe Todd used to run marathons as well. I seem to recall him telling an audience, I think it was when he was back here in Iowa a few months ago for our station event at KXEL, that he ran the New York City Marathon once, something like that. So apparently it's something in the airwaves at Starnes Media Group. But congratulations, Ben Dieter. A time of 35:27 for the 10K. I'm not sure I can drive it that fast. That just shows you how far out of the loop I am. By the way, Todd is not here today. We expect he's back tomorrow. And the reason he's gone today, I'm going to lean into the microphone, because it's kind of confidential. The reason that he's not here is he needed some extra time to shop for Dieter's Christmas gift. And again, he's speedy, right? So he could follow around. So Todd said, okay, we'll divert Ben's attention and let him worry about the radio show and try to help that Iowa guy along. And so Todd's out there at the mall, I think, buying the perfect
Christmas gift for Ben Dieter. That's why he's not here today, in case you were wondering. 901-260-5926. Coming up in our next hour, we'll speak live with Josh Haston. Mr. Haston is Middle East correspondent for the Jewish News Syndicate. He reports from Israel, and we're going to talk about the fall of the government in Syria and what that means for Christians in that nation, what it means for Israel, etc. But when we come back after this break, Reagan Reese, White House correspondent for the Daily Caller, will be along, and we'll pick up on the phone call Doug made in the last half hour about the nomination process. How's that going? The Trump Administration 2.0 cabinet nominees. All that and more as we continue in a moment from the Liberty University studio. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks for being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926 is how you can join our coast-to-coast conversation. This is Jeff Stein in the state of Iowa, and I mention that because of the fact that the incoming chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee is Senator Charles Grassley, who today, via electronic transmission, sent an 11-page letter to Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, with 86 footnotes in it. 11-page letter, 86 footnotes. It reads in part that he has no confidence. Grassley has no confidence in Wray, and says, for the good of the country, it's time for you and your deputy to move on to the next chapter in your lives. I must express my vote of no confidence in your continued leadership of the FBI. And in that 11-page letter, Grassley cites all the things that Wray has done wrong since he, Grassley, presided over the confirmation hearings for Wray 7 years ago. Well, the FBI directorship, one of many things that we're looking at in terms of nominations made by the president. And joining us now on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line to discuss some of the others is Reagan Reese. Ms. Reese is White House correspondent for the Daily Caller. Thanks so much for taking time. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of all of the nominations that are going to require Senate approval, which one would you say has the toughest uphill sled at this point?
Huh. That is, you know, it's kind of a hard question. You know, I Trump has picked a lot of, controversial cabinet picks, but that's exactly why people have elected him. They want him to pick people who are going to dismantle the deep state. They want people who aren't your typical bureaucrats. And so, I think that right now, I definitely still think it is Pete Hegseth who is battling the most for that reason, or why I think that is because the mainstream media right now has really picked him as their target. They've started to shift that today to Tulsi Gabbard as we see her on the Hill. But even, you know, picks like Cash Patel and RFK Jr. have really flown under the radar. Cash himself is on the Hill today trying to make his pitch to senators. But right now, as the media kind of turns its focus to Pete Hegseth and starts to tap into its attacks on Gabbard, I think that it's going to be Hegseth because he has more than just the Democrat senators working against him.
Do you have a sense from your reporting what it will take to get to 50 votes? And I say 50 because the tie break would be the new vice president, and that would give him the confirmation. Are there certain things, and I say this because Senator Joni Ernst of Iowa has said she's going to apparently meet with him again to talk about women in combat, sexual assault, things that go on in the military. She, of course, a combat veteran and a sexual assault survivor. So are there specific things that they're looking at that if answered can get him across the finish line?
Yeah, I think Ernst kind of lays it out right there in her statement that I have to imagine that the comments about not wanting women in combat roles and about the sexual assault allegations
are starting to hold up the process. But I think what I've seen from the Senate is that once Pete Hegseth's mom came out and started to explain some of the past statements that she has given on her son, or explain how her son has changed and how he has found God, and how that was, you know, his divorces that he went through were all 7 years ago. I really think that we've started to see a bit of a mood shift within the Senate, and because that was, it was quite powerful to have his mom sit down, and she wrote this scathing letter about her son and how he treats women, and to then go out on Fox News and say, I apologize and retracted my words 2 hours later. But that, of course, wasn't the email that was leaked. And let me tell you about my son, the son that I know now, who I still continue to be close with. I think that was very powerful and something that people are overlooking as a real turning point in this confirmation process.
And it also seems that once that set of facts was put out there, the fact that she recanted a couple of hours later in an email, but we never heard that, as you quite accurately point out, in the formerly mainstream media, it then tends to make an average person say, well, if they didn't tell the full truth about that allegation, what about all of these others? I mean, it was kind of like they overplayed their hand on that one, and there's going to be some backlash.
I mean, yeah, why we continue to trust the mainstream media, I'll never understand. They're the people who covered up President Biden's fitness and painted it as this right-wing conspiracy theory. And then as soon as that was over with, we all kind of forgot about the fact that they'd assisted in that cover-up. And then they went on to allow Vice President Kamala Harris to run without a platform, without answering questions and letting her staff reverse her policy stances for weeks, again, without answering any questions. And so here we are again, trusting the mainstream media and what they're reporting about President Trump's cabinet picks and taking them at their word and saying, yeah, what this New York Times, this email that the New York Times dug up, this is the full story and this is all that there is. I just do not understand why they keep getting away or keep getting away with all this.
Reagan Reese of the Daily Caller joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. She's on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. And now we're starting to see this battle, call your senator, et cetera, on the airwaves. There are some groups, some interest groups, in particular with the Hegseth nomination, that are starting to lay out some pretty serious money on the airwaves to get citizens involved.
Yeah. It's really this battle that we're seeing, I think, is just really has been perplexing. I think I was talking to another reporter today, and neither of us really thought that this was going to be as busy and as a tough battle as we are seeing now. I kind of thought that things were going to slow down, but now we have groups that are backed by Elon Musk that are running ads specifically in Iowa, trying to sway Senator Joni Ernst into voting for Pete Hegseth. And we have all these rounds that these cabinet picks are making on the Hill. Another thing that I think is notable is that none of these cabinet picks have done interviews, with the exception of Pete Hegseth, because they're being told to hold off, don't say anything until after the confirmation process. And so just the response that we're seeing to all of President Trump's cabinet picks, whether you're, not controversial, like Secretary of Agriculture or Secretary of Education, Linda McMahon, all the way to Cash Patel and Pete Hegseth, are all laying low out of maybe perhaps fear that they could face some retaliation just because they've been handpicked by Donald Trump.
So with regard to the Tulsi Gabbard nomination, you mentioned that the former congresswoman is on Capitol Hill, I guess, today. Some of the allegations from those on the left, and I will point out in the sake of intellectual honesty, I didn't hear these coming from the left when she was a Democrat and in Congress, but there are some on the left now who are saying that she's not qualified because she had too close a relationship with Assad in Syria, Well, now that that government has fallen, I'm just wondering what's the next thing that they're going to use against her.
Well, I mean, if you read Politico Playbook this morning, which, of course, it's really not being read beyond the Beltway, but that was still a question that they were asking, was kind of like, does this relationship with Assad compromise her as the security pick? And you have to imagine that that is something she's being asked about on the Hill. But one thing that a person close to Tulsi noted this morning in Politico was that she is ready for this, that she has faced these same attacks. She's been in this game for quite some time. And I think that's going to make a very different confirmation battle as opposed to, when we see somebody like Pete Hegseth, who has not been a career politician and has not really been in this type of element before and then had these attacks launched on him. I think we're going to see Tulsi handle these attacks very differently. And again, this is the woman who kind of put the nail in the coffin in Kamala Harris's first presidential run. And so I would not underestimate her ability to take care of all this.
No, without question. Reagan Reese of the Daily Caller, she's White House correspondent for that publication. She joins us on the Todd Starn Show, courtesy of the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Well, we've been talking about some of these anti-groups, but there are some folks who are supporting South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem, who, by the way, rode into the National Finals Rodeo carrying the American flag the other night. Not the first time she's done that. So we're talking about Homeland Security, and there are some law enforcement groups in favor of the governor, and they're making their feelings known.
Yeah, this is a real movement that we're seeing across law enforcement and their support for Kristi Noem, calling for a swift confirmation. And I think the swift confirmation comes out of desperation for somebody who is going to help out law enforcement, that is going to help put an end to the border crisis, that is going to crack down on crime. And so just today, another major police union came out with their support for Kristi Noem. And these are just popping up, it seems, almost daily now. And it seems to be almost unanimous support across law enforcement that Kristi Noem should be the pick. And so perhaps maybe if Trump has anyone not to worry about getting through the confirmation process, it might be Kristi Noem right now.
Well, some of us thought she was the shoo-in to be the vice presidential choice until she wrote that second book, and that torpedoed that. Reagan Reese, thanks so much for the excellent insight. We'll continue to watch your work at the Daily Caller and appreciate your time here.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
Reagan Reese, White House correspondent, Daily Caller, and dailycaller.com is where you can find the various items that she writes, an exclusive on that ad targeting Iowa Senator Ernst tied to the Hegseth confirmation battle. You can read that and all of her stories at dailycaller.com. And Reagan Reese joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. All right, that's going to bring us to near the end of hour number 2 of 3 on this Monday. Coming up, when we come back after you have your top-of-the-hour news, local news, and the good information this Todd Starn Show affiliate provides at the top of each hour, we'll speak live. He's in Israel. Josh Haston of the Jewish News Syndicate will talk about these developments in the Middle East after this top-of-the-hour break. Jeff Stein in for Todd. Come on back. Another hour coming up of the Todd Starn Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, welcome to Hour 3 of a Monday edition of the Todd Starnes Show.
coast to coast on 150 stations across this great nation and streaming live at toddstarnes.com. Hello, fellow patriots. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today from the Liberty University studio at my home base, News Talk 1540 KXCL in Cedar Rapids and Waterloo, Iowa, the 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching the heartland with accurate news and reasonable views, and Iowa's home to the Todd Starn Show. 901-260-5926 is how you can join this conversation coast to coast, and we'll take your calls in the next segment. But we go now to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, and we welcome Josh Haston. Mr. Haston is Middle East correspondent for the Jewish News Syndicate. They are online at jns.org. He is joining us from Israel. Mr. Haston, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
Now, this audience may know that I host a daily program in Iowa, which airs right before the Todd Starn Show airs live. And this morning, Mr. Haston was a guest on my program right as I was learning I'd be sitting here on the national show. And I said to Ben Dieter, we need to get Mr. Haston on to share his information with the national audience. The situation in Israel is not what it was 4 days ago because of what happened in Syria. Give us your take on what did happen in Syria that led to the fall of the Assad government.
Absolutely. So over the course of about a week to 2 days, you had various rebel groups successfully overthrowing a Assad regime that's been in power for about 54 years here in the Middle East. An Assad regime that is in the same orbit as Iran, as Hezbollah, and all the other terrorist proxies of the Iranian regime. So it's major news. But that being said, I know people are optimistic. You saw people dancing in the streets throughout Syria. But we have to understand who these rebels are. I just realized over the last several hours that the head of the HDS, one of the biggest rebel groups, he actually has a $10 million price on his head for arrest by the U.S. government. That's Mohammed al-Julani. This is under a presidential executive order. So the Assad regime, as terrible as they were, tyrannical regime for many, many years. We saw the evidence of that by those prisoners who were held in just deplorable conditions, suffering the worst tortures there in Damascus. So on one hand, it's good the Assad regime is out of power. On the other hand, you have these rebel groups, some of them affiliated with Al-Qaeda and with ISIS, other extremist Islamic groups, whose goal actually is to take over the world and to implement the Muslim caliphate. So we have to be careful, and that is why Israeli troops right now are sitting on the Golan Heights and are in actually the buffer zone between Israel and Syria in order to keep their eyes on the rebels and make sure the rebels don't turn their guns against Israel sooner rather than later.
As you noted, this is obviously the Assad regime was brutal, and having them out of power is a wonderful thing, and it's hard to think that the replacement could be worse, but in terms of direct threat to neighboring nations like Israel, direct threat to Christians within the borders, I mean, this could be a much worse group of people now in charge.
It's very, very possible, and just to show you an example of how that actually could be the case, Hamas, the terrorist organization there in Gaza, who carried out the October 7th massacre, murdering more than 1,200 Israelis, they applauded the rebel takeover there in Syria. At the same time, videos released today showed that some of these rebel groups were chanting that they were then going to march to Jerusalem. In other words, they are going to try to attack the state of Israel, a danger to the Jews in Israel, a danger to the Christians, both in Israel and the region, potentially. They claim that they have they are moderate or whatnot. They even said today that they would not direct women how they should dress. But we've seen this before. The Taliban comes to mind in Afghanistan, who also claimed that they had moderated, that women could do what they want, receive an education, dress the way they want. But we know that that is not true over there, and I'm afraid that's probably not true here as well. So we really have to pay attention to what happens in the next few days, weeks, and months in terms of the positions the rebels take, that Israel is ready on the northern border in case they decide to turn their guns towards us.
Josh Haston is Middle East correspondent for the Jewish News Syndicate. JNS.org is the website. He joins us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Israel on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. What impact does the U.S. airstrike, that series of airstrikes that took place over the weekend in Israel, what impact is that going to have on this whole thing?
I'm afraid to say, Jeff, sadly, I believe it's minimal. I think over the last several years, you have seen a weak administration coming out of the White House. And that is why Iran is headed towards nuclear weapons. You had the first Trump administration where they sanctioned Iran, cut off the funding, and then it was re-implemented under the Biden administration. I think things can change and will change very, very quickly after January the 20th, and we hope for that reality. So it's a wait-and-see game there. But this is the Middle East, where strength wins out and weakness is stomped upon. And if you show any weakness, your enemy sees upon it. And that's what we're seeing. And that's one of the reasons, the fact that Trump is coming into power, the fact that Israel was very successful in striking both Hezbollah and striking Iran. We see in their speech, at least, Iran actually even reaching out to the rebels themselves, saying they don't want any problems with them. That's something that was completely unexpected. But behind the scenes, Iran is still trying to achieve nuclear weapons, to destroy what they call the little Satan, which is the state of Israel, and then move on to the big state. That's you over there in the United States. They refer to that all the time. They refer to the U.S. as the big state, big Satan. So that is who we're dealing with. Iran on one side and these Islamic rebel groups affiliated with al-Qaeda, supporting Osama bin Laden and his theologies all of these years.
Josh Haston is Middle East correspondent for the Jewish News Syndicate. He is joining us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line from Israel. So the Bashar Assad family and Assad himself supposedly, I say supposedly because I've seen no images or anything, but supposedly given asylum in Russia. Russia had been the protector. Is this a negative for Russia, because that was the foothold they had in the Middle East, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. That was Russia's goal, essentially, to replace the United States as a superpower here in the Middle East. They have military bases in Syria. They wielded high influence in Syria. They're in the same orbit as that Iranian Hezbollah and Syrian circle there. So this is definitely a blow to Russia, who has invested in this for many, many years, siding, unfortunately, with the forces of evil. So I think they will be forced to take a step back and reevaluate their positions, especially now that their main ally in the region, Assad, is no longer in Syria. As you said, again, reports indicating that he is in Moscow right now, unconfirmed. There were all kinds of rumors yesterday. Perhaps he went to the UAE, United Arab Emirates. Even one rumor said that he was, in fact, killed. Maybe his plane was shot down or crashed. All these things circulating, but all indications today, at least, point towards Moscow, that he is seeking asylum there, was offered asylum by Moscow for himself, for his entire family. But again, no video evidence, as far as I know, in terms of his whereabouts. But I would guess that most likely he is out of the country. They definitely want his head on the platter. They're talking about Shia versus Sunni in the Muslim world, and they don't always get along. Sometimes they do get along when it comes to Israel, their desire to destroy the state of Israel. And not everyone, of course, but again, when it comes to Israel, they usually put their differences aside and are able to get on the same page. And the perfect example of that is Hezbollah and Hamas. Both Sunni Hamas and Shia Hezbollah with Iran, all getting on the same page when it comes to their desire to wipe Israel off the map.
When I spoke with you on my Iowa program this morning, I made a comment about the Syria situation. Now Israel is having to enter the buffer zone, and they were already fighting on two fronts, and you quite accurately corrected me. It's a lot more than two fronts. I was thinking of Hezbollah and Hamas in the aftermath of October 7th of last year, but this is just sadly a way of life, is it not, for the nation of Israel?
Yeah, unfortunately, we are now on seven fronts. If you include Syria, that's eight. Just today, a drone an unmanned aerial vehicle was launched at the State of Israel from, we believe, Yemen. The drone struck a city close to the Tel Aviv area, the city of Yavna. Luckily, no one was injured in that, but it was a direct impact on a multi-story apartment building. So you have the Houthis firing at us from Yemen. You have Iran, who has attacked us twice directly with ballistic missiles. You have Hezbollah. You have Hamas. You have the situation within Israel itself in Judea and Samaria with all the different terrorist groups trying to attack us. Lebanon. And now you have potentially Syria. That's why our tanks are on the high ground at the top of the Hermon mountain range on the Golan Heights. We are watching. We are paying attention very, very closely to make sure that these rebels don't decide that they're going to try to take on the State of Israel and create that eighth front, if you will.
Mr. Haston, thank you so much for taking time for this extended conversation. I appreciate the cogent analysis, and we'll connect again sooner than later, I trust.
I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You as well. Josh Haston is Middle East correspondent for Jewish News Syndicate, JNS.org, the website. He co-hosts their podcast, Jerusalem Minute, and other items, and you can read his writings, including one posted today about enhancing the U.S.-Israel relations during Trump 2.0. You see those stories at JNS.org, and Josh Haston joined us on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. You can join us by calling 901-260-5926, same number as always. Your calls throughout the rest of the hour. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Short break now, your calls on the other side. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. 901-260-5926. Your calls between now and the end of the program today. Thanks so much to Team Todd for taking care of business today, as always. Cassie handling the phones, Ben lining up the great guests, and Dylan at the controls of the mighty Wurlitzer there at the mighty 990 in Memphis. You remember, some of you, the old Wide World of Sports Open, and they talked about the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Well, what does victory smell like? Well, if you're Donald Trump, it smells like a brand new fragrance called Fight, Fight, Fight. I believe it's TrumpFragrances.com is the website, but cologne for men, perfume for women, they each retail for $199. That's $199. Some of us would probably spend, move the decimal point over. But in any event, there is now this new line of fragrances, Fight, 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 Trump fragrance. You see the image of Trump on the box with his fist in the air, has his autograph stamped on the front. Now, the reason why we especially paid note to the Trump fragrances is because on the socials, including Truth Social, the president-elect's account, he posted a picture from Paris the other day, the opening of the refurbished cathedral, Notre Dame. And the president-elect was receiving all manner of accolades from foreign leaders. I'll talk more about that in a moment. To the point that it was like, well, who's representing the current White House? Well, it turns out that the First Lady and head nurse, Dr. Jill, and I believe their daughter was there as well, but there was a photo that made the rounds that we saw of Donald Trump there in the front row, and he was seated in between the President and First Lady of France, and then on the other side of the First Lady of France was the current U.S. First Lady. But before the President and First Lady of France got there, President-elect Trump and First Lady Dr. Jill were just chatting, as people would do. And Trump is being his normal, gregarious self. And she's shooting him a look like she's just massively interested in what he has to say. I'm sure the conversation level is much better than she gets at home. But that notwithstanding, on the socials, a picture of Trump with Dr. Jill looking somewhat adoringly at him. The pictures of the bottles of cologne in the foreground and the slogan, a fragrance your enemies can't resist. Now, you may think, okay, should he really be selling watches and shoes and cologne and all this? Hey, capitalism, people. It's called capitalism. And what the heck? You want to spend $199? Why shouldn't he sell it? The best part was the troll of the picture of Jill looking at him like she's just tremendously interested, and the tagline of a fragrance your enemies can't resist. So if you want to know what winning smells like, $199, cologne for men, perfume for women. That's outstanding. I just love the trolling. And I just love how the left's heads are all exploding. You know, Donald Trump was the greatest threat to democracy ever, but yet Joe congratulates him warmly at the White House when they meet. You just can't have this both ways. And it goes back to what we've been talking about a little bit today, that when this one side overplays its hand, we mentioned it in the last hour with regard to Penelope Hegseth, mother of Pete Hegseth, when she sent him a scathing email and from years ago, by the way, and that gets released. But what didn't get released was the follow-up where she said, I'm sorry, I was just upset, I didn't mean it. When they overplay, you can't trust any of it. And so now that Joe is pardoning first his son, and the timing of that was necessary, as you well know, because of the sentencings, not one, but two, scheduled this month. The first pardon had to come now. This whole slew of pardons coming later. I mean, I'm waiting to see an image of Joe with a Santa hat and the bag over his back and a bunch of pardons stuffing, you know, coming out of the bag stuffed with pardons, because that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be handing out all manner of pardons, and in doing so, talking about this terrible Trump administration and weaponizing the Department of Justice and these unfair prosecutions and all of this. And again, they're screaming the most about the things that they did themselves. They figure if they scream about it, then you're going to assume that it's true, when in reality, they're doing it worse. But I just love how at one moment, oh, it's the worst threat to democracy. Donald, welcome back. Ugh. January 20th. Cannot come soon enough, friends. It cannot come soon enough. Coming up this soon or next is a break, and we'll take your calls on the other side. Well, that was not a good transition, Jeff, at all. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Stern Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd today. We have an update on what Todd's doing. He was doing a lot of things during this period of time, and I understand he's now standing in line at the University of Tennessee ticket office to get tickets to the Volunteers football game in the college football playoff against Ohio State. So he's been shopping for Christmas gifts for Ben Dieter, we understand. He's been watching that last night's new episode of Yellowstone over and over, and now we believe that he is getting football tickets for the weekend. With any good luck, Todd will get that accomplished and be back tomorrow. 901-260-5926 is how you can continue this coast-to-coast conversation. We've covered all manner of topics today, from immigration to the Biden pardon of family members, Doge cuts in Congress, the confirmation battle for cabinet nominees, the turmoil in the Middle East with the fall of the Syrian government, lots of different topics as always, and plenty of time for you to give us your thoughts before this hour is up at 901-260-5926. Holiday season right around the corner, and by holidays I mean Christmas and New Year's. MyPillow excited to announce that their Christmas extravaganza is finally here. You can get this season's flannel sheets for as long as $59.98. Now, these won't last long. Flannel sheets as low as $59.98, so get these while you can. You know, I was wandering around the house this past weekend, and my wife said, how long have you had those slippers? And, of course, me being a guy, like, well, what's wrong with the slippers? They seem fine. She said, you really need to up your game. Well, what do you know? The famous My Slippers have not been on sale for over a year, but for a limited time, they are now only $59.98. It's as if Mike Lindell was speaking directly to me. These are regularly priced at $119.98. Limited time, My Pillow, My Slippers, $59.98. Six-piece towel sets back in stock, extremely limited quantities, though, and only $29.98. With hundreds of MyPillow products, there's something for everyone on your Christmas list, from bathrobes, duvets, quilts, down comforters, much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Be sure to use the promo code STARNS to save on all MyPillow products. That's promo code STARNS. Again, it's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS. Flannel sheets for as low as $59.98. Six-piece towel sets, just $29.98. Ah, but friends, that's not all. They are extending their 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st of 2025. Plus, all orders $75 or more ship absolutely free. MyPillow, MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS. I mentioned in the last hour that U.S. Senator Charles Grassley, who will again be chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee, today sent an 11-page letter to Christopher Wray, director of the FBI. It's 11 pages, and in it, and this is classic Grassley for those of us who have covered him a long time. I'm just going to read you a few bits from this. Director Wray, Grassley writes, 7 years ago, I presided over your confirmation hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. The Senate confirmed you to your position in hopes you'd bring needed change to the FBI after the politicalization and scandal presided over by your predecessor, James Comey. While I sincerely congratulated you on your nomination, I reminded you that an FBI director's 10-year term is a ceiling, not a floor, and laid down my expectations for your service. And he talks about protection of whistleblowers, compliance with congressional oversights, etc. Rather than turn over a new leaf at the FBI, Grassley writes to Christopher Wray, you've continued to read from the old playbook of weaponization, double standards, and a relentless game of hide-and-seek with Congress. As your tenure comes to an end, zing, I want to take this opportunity to tell you where you went wrong for the benefit of the Bureau and that of your successor. And he then takes another 10 pages, footnoted. I mean, I used to teach college students. This is the most well-researched research paper I've ever seen. 11 pages, 86 footnotes. He closes by saying, for the good of the country, this is the incoming Judiciary Committee chairman to the head of the FBI, for the good of the country, it's time for you and your deputy to move on to the next chapter in your lives. I've spent my career fighting for transparency, and I've always called out those in government who have fought against it. For the public record, I must do so once again. Now, I therefore must express my vote of no confidence in your continued leadership of the FBI. There is absolutely no way you can parse that. It is a detailed, scathing indictment of the tenure of Christopher Wray at the FBI. And you can say what you want about some of these nominees. But if you believe that Washington is broken and needs to be fixed, then you better learn to have your eggs scrambled and not simply over easy. In other words, we're going to break some eggs. It's going to get a little messy. It's not going to be pretty. But you either go down the same road of deep state running everything and paying lip service to anyone who wants to change it, or you save democracy for the future. To me, phrased that way, it's an easy choice. Trump won, period. You're not even hearing Democrats complain about that fact. They know what a horrible, horrible candidate they had. They know that they overreached on their policies. And they know that America is behind the guy who literally took a bullet for them. So get out of the way on this. But it is not going to be easy. I don't think any of you listening necessarily think that. But I just want to be really clear. We have to have our expectations in check. We were speaking with a guest earlier about, well, what could Congress do? Because, again, the new Congress is sworn in on Friday, January 3rd. Inauguration Day is Monday, January 20th, which is the national holiday for Reverend King. What can be done in that period of time? Well, a new Senate could start confirmation hearings on cabinet-level officials so that the hearings are out of the way, and yes, start voting to approve nominees as soon as Mr. Trump takes his hand off the Bible. Congress could also pass some laws so that the minute he gets into the Oval Office, and remember he said during the campaign, President Trump did, might just set up a desk there at the inauguration and before the parade just start signing executive orders. How about signing some bills? I understand that's a pretty quick turnaround for certain things, but wouldn't it be good? And in fact, the Congress is going to have a Republican majority, albeit small, in both chambers, but at least it's a Republican majority. I would suggest to you there are two things that should be done right away, and they're really easy. Let's grab the low-hanging fruit first. The very first thing Congress ought to do is pass a bill that renews the 2017 tax cuts, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Don't add to it, don't change it, don't get fancy. I'll even draft the legislation for you. Be it resolved that the 2017 Tax Cuts and Jobs Act is hereby extended through January 31st, 2035. 10 years. Why is that helpful? Business will just take off like a rocket. Even more so than if energy is unleashed. Because any business wants certainty. You are going to have all of your taxes go up. Every one of you. Not to mention business, which then will mean you pay more at the store. Businesses don't absorb taxes. They pass them on to you. If those tax cuts are not renewed, bad things are going to happen. So this is not the only thing you do with regard to taxes, but get this out of the way first. Just renew what's there. Then you can separately argue potential further cuts. One sentence. Be it resolved, the old bill is extended for 10 years. Done. You should also then pass a bill with regard to our border security. And don't get fancy. Don't remake the entire immigration system. Just something that requires enforcement of existing laws or allows, gives the administration the full cover to enforce the laws. And maybe that's an appropriations bill. And maybe, although I don't like this, maybe you prioritize. Let's get those who are violating the law, those who are awaiting trial and are in this country illegally, let's start there. Again, low-hanging fruit, but boy, will that make a big difference. In two very different ways. You renew the Tax Cuts and Job Act, and everybody breathes a sigh of relief, and businesses can start planning. Homeowners, regular citizens can plan. That is a weight lifted. If you thought after Mr. Trump won the election, a weight was lifted, this will take that even further. and then Congress on record with regard to enforcing our borders and going after those who are here illegally. A lot of folks on the left don't like the phrase illegal alien. Fine. Just call them criminals, because that's what they are. You come into this country without benefit of the right paperwork, you're a criminal. You have violated the federal law. Oh, but there's a really good reason. Shut up. No, there isn't. You take those two steps right away to set the tone. Then you can get fancy after that. Then you can add to the economic prosperity. But start with a couple of basic things that he can pull out his pen, he can scrawl his name on day one. Now, is that impossible? It's not impossible, especially when you see that the Senate is actually going to be in session in 2025. Under Chuck Schumer, as the Democrat majority leader of the Senate, he sets the calendar and they worked an average of 2.5 days a week. Even in the weeks when they worked, then there were all these weeks when they just were off. October, gone. August, see ya. 2.5 days of work. I mean, convene Tuesday night, leave Thursday night, bye, done. Well, under the Republicans, they published the calendar, and it's like, wow, they're actually expecting members to show up. Now the calendar is subject to change, etc. But instead of 2- and 3-week-long breaks around national holidays, there's actually a work schedule. They might actually get things done, heaven forbid. That's the work ethic and the attitude necessary to restore this country to the position it was 4 years ago. And you have to do that. You have to do that before you can build for the future. So Congress, get a head start. Sort of like if you're going to go back to school and they send you the reading list a month ahead of time so that you can get a head start on the books you have to read. Same thing. Here's your assignment. Well, first, try to keep the government open through Christmas so we don't have that train wreck. But that's how the new Congress can show that it is serious about helping American citizens. 901-260-5926, that's our number. More from the Liberty University studio after this short break. Final segment coming up. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Liberty University studio and the Todd Starn Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Monday. Yesterday on Meet the Press with Kristen Welker, Donald Trump was interviewed at length on a variety of topics. And I have to tell you, I'm a big fan, always have been, of Pam Bondi. She is going to be a fantastic U.S. Attorney General, and President-elect Trump weighed in during the TV program.
Pam Bondi talks about investigating the investigators. Do you want her to investigate Jack Smith?
I want her to do what she wants to do.
Do you want to see Jack Smith investigated?
Well, I think he's very corrupt, but I want her to do whatever she has to.
Are you going to direct her to prosecute Jack
Smith? She's a very smart person. She was a great attorney general in Florida. She's very experienced. I want her to do what she wants to do. I'm not going to instruct her to do it now.
Here, let me trap you, Mr. President-elect. Are you going to shut up. God, I'm so tired of these people. Now, I'll tell you, my basic bias is I don't want to spend the next 4 years going after the other guys, necessarily. Because the American voters show, hey, what are you doing for me? But there has to be enough oversight, enough ramifications for the ne'er-do-wells that they are dissuaded from doing it again. This is a fine line to walk. So everybody on the left talks about this horrible retribution. Well, here's the thing. Don't waste time helping the American people. Good time helping the American people by going back to settle petty old grievances. But you have to hold those people accountable. And just because the person who is still president, I guess legally, signs a bunch of pardons, relieving a whole mess of folks that's a technical legal phrase, MESA folks from any kind of prosecution, that doesn't mean you don't investigate, because there's a little something there. And we have to make sure that what happened to Donald John Trump never happens again. The lawfare, all of that cannot happen again. The only way it doesn't happen again is if those who perpetrated these atrocities are in some way dissuaded from doing it again. Whatever that means. Does it mean prosecution? I don't know. Does it mean investigation? Absolutely. Does it mean that the shredders are probably going nonstop at the Justice Department and other places? Yeah, they probably are. So the bottom line is, strike the appropriate chord, the appropriate response to make sure Americans believe in their government again. We talk about making America great again. How about making government great again for Americans? That, I think, is going to be the theme, as you just heard, of Trump 2.0. I, for one, welcome that, as opposed to the slippage on the world stage that we have suffered through. So you voted well, Starnes Nation, you voted well. Cassie, Dylan, Ben, thanks again for everything. Todd, hope all is well. Hope you're back here tomorrow after you're done with your Christmas shopping. Jeff Stein, grateful to all of you for being here. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.